You know, I just have to say, thank you, choir. That was wonderful this morning. I'm just thankful that we are in the presence of our Savior, that He is here amongst us. It's what a wonderful thing to know that our Savior is always with us, always by our side. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, if you would turn to Romans chapter 8, we're going to be finishing up our series this morning, so this will be our last time turning together to Romans chapter 8, but I pray that it's not your last time that you will turn to this chapter, but that you will turn to it time and time again, because this is, as we have said, one of the greatest chapters of the Bible. But we are finishing up the series that we have entitled, What's So Great About Romans Chapter 8. You all have probably heard of the name before of Jim Elliot. Jim Elliot was a man who sacrificed all that he had to bring the gospel to the Huarani in Ecuador. His devotion even led him to give his life, as in 1956, as him and five other missionaries died at the hands of those who they were trying to reach. But throughout the year, he had kept a journal, and on October 28, 1949, he wrote this in his journal: "He is no fool. He is no fool to give what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose." And that is exactly what Paul is talking about here in the last part of Romans chapter 8. He is talking about that which we cannot lose. Now, I understand that as Paul is writing Romans chapter 8, he is writing within a particular context. He is writing in the first century, and he is writing in a time in which people are facing great persecution and tribulation. Paul himself, as well as many other Christians, have experienced tribulation and distress and persecution and famine and danger and nakedness and sword. And we can see that Paul even quotes from Psalm chapter 44 as he says, "We are accounted as sheep for slaughter." See, Paul has in mind here about Christians who are paying the ultimate price. He is talking about Christians who are giving their life for the faith. Because see, even in the first century, Christians would be clothed in animal skins and they would be brought to the amphitheater where they would be torn to pieces by lions and tigers and gladiators. And this has been going on throughout the history of Christianity. John Wycliffe was killed for getting the Word of God into the normal person's hand. In September of 2008 in Odessa, India, 10,000 Christians fled for their lives as they feared that they were about to be killed, and they went into government shelters and forests in order to hide. Or Polycarp, the bishop of Smyrna, as he was 86 years old and he was trying to be forced to renounce his Savior, and he was being led to the fire. And as he was being led to the fire, he said he had served the Savior for 86 years and the Savior had never let him down. How could he blaspheme his Savior? Now, I know this morning you're not facing that. But you're probably facing tribulations and distress, distresses and persecution and famine and danger and sword of one kind or another. Some of you this morning are facing tribulations that's coming from within. Some of you are facing a tribulation or distress that might be from without. And they have caused you this morning to come to this place of worship, and you are looking for some word of solace or comfort from your Savior here this morning. And so as we began to read this passage, as we began to read this word of comfort, It is very important for us to understand the context in which Paul is writing this, because we are going to see that Paul is going to give us a great promise. But the promise that he is giving us is not that if you come to Jesus Christ, that there will be no trouble in your life whatsoever. It's not a promise that if you come to Jesus Christ, that all your troubles, all your distresses, and all your fears will disappear. Paul isn't saying that. Paul here is saying something much different to those who are in the midst of fears and in the midst of trials and in the midst of difficulties. So as we began to read this morning then in Romans chapter 8, let's look what Paul writes under the inspiration of Holy Spirit as he begins in verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We love that passage. We turn to that passage for comfort and peace all the time, so that we can begin to understand the strong grasp of God's love. Because the first thing we see in this passage is this. We can see that Paul begins to tell us that we can have complete security. Because notice what Paul is talking about throughout this entire passage. All Paul is talking about here is all about Jesus. Paul isn't telling us to look for comfort within ourselves. He's not saying to look within yourselves. You need to find your own inner strength. You need to find your own inner ability, and that will bring you comfort. No, because if we do that, that is only a recipe for disaster. But instead, Paul is sharing with us some comfort that requires us to look at Jesus. It requires us to look at the cross. Because Paul begins here by asking us, who can separate us from the love of Christ? You know, as I'm standing here speaking this morning, there are Christians all across this world who are being tortured, who are being waterboarded, who are given mind-altering drugs, who are being deprived of food and water and sleep, all so that they will renounce their faith in the Lord Jesus. And some of them will. I think of Thomas Cranmer, the great English reformer, who in a moment of understandable weakness, as he was facing execution, he was being brought to the pyre of fire, and there he signed a piece of paper renouncing the doctrines of the Reformation. And he was immediately ashamed of what he had done. But you want to know what still happened? They still killed him anyway. And as he was being walked up to the fire, he took his right hand, the same hand that he had signed that paper with, and he thrust it into the fire. And he said, "Oh, wretched right hand." But the question Paul is asking is, who can separate us from the love of God? There's a lot of debate on what Paul is saying here because of the grammar that he uses. And some argue that Paul is saying here, who can separate me from my love of Christ? But if Paul is asking that question of who can separate me from my love of Christ, well, let me tell you, there is absolutely no comfort in this passage whatsoever. Because if you ask yourself that question, you can say, well, about anything can separate me from my love of Jesus Christ. Because there are people who are facing these distresses and persecutions and fires of which Paul is talking about here, and some of them will fall. And we can see that he begins to ask that question, who can separate me? Not asking the question of who can separate me from my love of Jesus. Because many times we fall. And that might be where you are this morning. We've come to church and we have fallen. And we're all too conscious of this. And it's just, we're all too conscious of the fact that we are nothing more than miserable sinners. So who can separate me from my love for Jesus? Just threaten me with pain. Just threaten me with torture. There's no guarantee. Oh, I pray to God that I would not renounce my faith. Oh, I pray that I would stand. I would pray to God that I would be like Polycarp. But there is no guarantee of that. And there is no guarantee of that that is given in Scripture, because that is not what Paul is asking here in this verse. But Paul is saying, who can separate me from the love that God has for me? It's not about my love for God, but it's about the love that God has for us. Paul's saying, who can separate me from Jesus's love for me? And let me tell you that that is a completely different question. Because Jesus's love for us is unending. Jesus's love for us is unquenchable. Jesus's love for us is irrevocable. And when we understand the love that Jesus has for us, we can understand that we have complete security, because his love for us will never end. But we can also see that Paul says here, not only can we have complete security, but he also says that we are suffering conquerors. You'll notice there in verse 37 that Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Notice what Paul says there. He doesn't say through him who loves us, but he says through him who loved us. It's a different tense there. And what Paul is doing here is he is pointing us back to the cross. As he has said previously, he who spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for who? For us all. So who is it that can separate me from that love? The love that caused Jesus to lay down his own life for us. The same love that caused Jesus to go to the cross for us. The same love that endured God's unmitigated wrath of a holy God in our place. The love that paid the ultimate sacrifice for us. Who can separate us from that love? Listen, I know that here this morning there are probably some of you who grew up in homes where your father never said, I love you. Maybe you've grown up in homes where your father was absent, and it's just bent you all out of shape. And even today, you are bent all out of shape, and it's caused you to always look for approval. And it just, if somebody just passes you by and doesn't even say hi or doesn't say a word to you, I mean, it just causes you to wonder, what have I done? And you just got to figure that out. You've got to go to that person. What have I done to you? What did I say? And there's a lot of times where we just have that insecurity that we are facing, and we just want that assurance. We want that acceptance. And sometimes we begin to view God in that same way. The slightest thing that happens, we begin to believe that God doesn't love us anymore. He loves me. He loves me not. He loves me. He loves me not. But listen to me this morning. God loved you before the foundation of the world. God loved you before you were even born. And it even gets better than that. He loved you when you were at your worst. He loved you then. He loved you when you were in the miry pit. He loved you when you were dead in your trespasses and sin. He loved you when you were not even presentable. That's the love he had. He loved you then. And that is exactly why Paul here is giving us the affirmation that we are more than just conquerors through him who loved us. Paul is saying here that we are super conquerors. Paul is saying here that we are hyper conquerors. Because see what Paul is doing here is he is bringing all this chapter together. He began with the statement that there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and not death, nor life, nor angels, nor things, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor powers, nor anything in all of creation can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ our Lord. He's trying to show you, look, God has this amazing love for you, and it will never end. God will always love you no matter what. Because let's just take a look at a few of those things that Paul says cannot take us out of the love of God. Paul says that death will not separate you from the love of God. Maybe this morning you are facing a death sentence that just hangs over you. But listen to the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. O death, where is thy sting? O death, where is thy victory? Do you want to know where it is? It has been swallowed up in the cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself told us that in his Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He says, there is nothing that can break you from my loving arms, not even death. And so what we have to do as disciples, what we have to do as followers of Christ, is we have to let this world go. We can't just keep hanging on and saying, God, I want to follow you, but I need to hold on to this back here. No, he says nothing in this world will be able to separate you from my love. It's as the great hymn says, a mighty fortress is our God. Let goods and kindreds go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. They can kill each and every single one of us, but death will not separate us from the love of God. What about heights and powers? Paul here is probably referring to supernatural powers and even to the devil himself. So can the devil remove you from the love of Christ? Can the devil come to Jesus somewhere in the universe and present such an argument that Jesus will say to the devil, all right, I'll give you this one. And the answer is no. Jesus has spoiled principalities and powers, and he has made a show of them, triumphing over them in the cross. When Jesus rose from the grave, when the tomb was empty, the very foundations of hell reverberated in fear because a sentence of doom was written. The devil cannot have you. The devil cannot take you because you belong to Jesus once you have put your faith and your trust in him. Do you remember Elisha's servant in Dothan? Early in the morning, he wakes up and he looks up and looks out of the city, and there before him he sees the great army of the Assyrians. And he's worried, oh, what's going to happen? So he says to Elisha, what shall we do? And Elisha prayed, Lord, open his eyes that he may see the chariots of fire, because there are more with us than be with them. That's what Paul is saying here. He's saying there's more with you when you are in Christ than there is in this world. That they cannot take you out of his arms. Because listen this morning, if you are looking for that assurance, if you are looking for that comfort, it is only the gospel of Jesus Christ that can give that to you. It's not the gospel that says, look within yourself. You're not going to find any courage to continue on by looking within yourselves. Whatever you do, do not run to Moses, because you'll get no comfort there. Whatever you do, don't run to Mount Sinai, because you'll get no comfort there. Whatever you do, don't run to self-effort. Don't run to good works, because you'll find no comfort there. But you must run to Jesus. Run to Jesus, who died in the place of sinners. Jesus, who died and rose again. Jesus, who is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, who is now interceding on your behalf. That's where you have to run, because it is only the gospel that will give you comfort. It is only the gospel that will give you assurance. And there's all these other places and all these other things that people in our culture today will tell you, you can find some hope in it. You can find some assurance in this. We can see that that's true all around us. We've got drugs. We have alcohol. We have all these other things. People say, that's where I find my hope. That's where I find my assurance. That's where I find my peace. And even in the church itself, there's all these other things that we can point you to and say, this is where you need to go. But listen, the problem is this. There's always one more thing you would have to do. There's always one more confession. There's always one more ritual. There's always one more observance to do. And there's absolutely no assurance there whatsoever. There's only assurance in the solid rock of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who died in our place. There's only assurance this morning in the gospel. So my question for you then this morning is this. Do you believe in the gospel this morning? Do you believe in it with all your heart? Is the gospel your most blessed and treasured thing you have in all the world? Because it is only the gospel. The gospel that Paul is presenting here in Romans chapter 8. The gospel of the Bible that can rid you of that nagging conscience that seeks to try to get you to think all the time that your heavenly Father doesn't love you anymore because you've had a bad week, because you've failed, because you've fallen, and now you think that God doesn't love you anymore. But listen to the words of Paul once again. He spared not his own son, but freely delivered him up for us all. How shall he not, along with him, freely give us all things? If he has given us his son, what is there that he will not give us? Because see, it is the gospel that affirms you. It's not the gospel of self-esteem. This is the gospel of the esteem that God gives us through our faith in Jesus Christ. Because when we are in Christ, what are we? We are the child of a king. That's what I am. Brother and sister in Christ, that's what you are. You are a child of a king. And when you know that, it doesn't matter what anyone else believes or thinks of you. I'm a child of a king. Do you want assurance this morning? Do you want affirmation this morning? Then run to Jesus, embrace him, enfold your arms around him, and say with Paul, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because there might be someone here this morning who has come. You came looking for comfort. You came looking for peace. You came looking for that assurance in your life that everything's going to be okay. And let me tell you, you've come to the right place. Because the only place you can find that is in Jesus Christ. You can't find it anywhere else. We hear it all the time. Just think positively. Think good thoughts about yourself and everything's going to be all right. Well, I've tried that. Guess what? It doesn't change anything. It brings no peace. It brings no comfort. But when you know who you are in Christ Jesus, when you know that you are a child of the King, when you know that he works everything out for the good of those who love him, then you can say, huh, I know, devil, you might be throwing this at me this morning, but guess what? God still loves me, and you can't change that. Oh, I know this might be going wrong today. I know I might have cancer and I might have been given one day to live. But guess what? I know that my God still loves me. Oh, I know my family has forsaken me. I know all this is going wrong. But no matter what, I know that God still loves me. You're talking about assurance and comfort and peace. That is the only place you can find it. That no matter what is going on in our lives, no matter what we may face, no matter what tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or sword we might face, Paul says, trust in God because he's still there. He's still got his loving arms wrapped around you. And may I tell you this morning, if you are a child of the King, you are firm in the loving grasp of our God. And nothing, nothing can take you out of that. So put your faith and your trust in that this morning, knowing that no matter how bad your week has been, no matter what sin it is that you might have committed, that we can repent of that still. And God still loves us. And I pray you will find great comfort and peace and joy in that this morning. And if you don't know that, we are going to have a moment here. Song will be sung. You have that chance. Grab somebody beside you. Come and speak to me. We will share with you how you can experience that. Because it's exactly what you have been looking for. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. So we have gone through this great chapter in Romans chapter 8, the great promises that you have given us, the great assurances that you have given us. And Father, we are just thankful for the love that you have for us. This love that we don't even deserve. We were your enemies. We wanted to have nothing to do with you. Yet, you sent your Son to die for us. And you have freely given us the gift of salvation. I couldn't repay the debt. I can't do anything. But you have given it to us. And when we put our faith and our trust in your Son, we can know that we will forever be in your loving arms. Even though persecution may come, even though tribulation may come, troubles and trials beyond what we could ever imagine might come, we can know that you still have us in your arms, that you are our fortress, and that your love will never end, and your love will carry us through. And even if that death sentence has been hung upon us, we know that we will have an eternity in your presence. And we can say that you are still our God. Father, if there be one here this morning who is struggling, who just doesn't understand which way to turn, Father, I pray that they would be assured of your love. That they would know that you have loved them, that you loved them before this came, that you loved them before they were ever born, that you loved them before this world was even ever created, and that you will love them long past today, for all eternity. And that they will have peace and comfort in that fact. And Father, for those who are just seeking that assurance from all and this comfort, from all these other things in this world, I pray that you would show them that there is no hope, there is no peace in those things. But if they turn to you, confess with their mouth that Jesus is your Son, and that you and believe in their hearts that you raised them from the dead, then they too can have the same assurance. I pray today that they would come. I pray for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing, I Need Thee Every Hour.